Welcome to this week's episode. My name is Ashton and I'll be your host this week. This episode features Honey Renicella out of Pennsylvania, and I loved our honest conversation about her life and her journey with her twin boys that are both on the autism spectrum. As you may hear, we had some crazy audio challenges, so much so that this podcast is over a month past its scheduled publish date, because I had to figure out if I could even salvage it. Surprise, I did. If you don't notice the challenges we had, then awesome. If you do notice, I apologize. Keep coming back. I promise we're getting better and better at this podcast thing. So, because we are delayed on publishing, there is some content that is a little dated. But if you listen all the way through, I'll give you some updates at the end. Plus, I'll let you in on a little insider info about some upcoming events that you can join us at. Well, let's jump in to this fun conversation. Get your coffee, your tea, water, or maybe turn up that treadmill and let's have some fun. Well, honey, thanks for joining us today and taking some time out of your busy day to talk with us. I really appreciate it.
I'm super, super happy to be here.
Well, I want to start off by you just sharing a little bit about your story and a little bit about your family with our listeners.
Okay. Well, I have three beautiful children. I have twin boys, Victor and Vincent, and they have been diagnosed with autism when they were 2 years old. So it's been about a 13-year journey into the disability. I have an amazing daughter who is 17, and I have a wonderful, wonderful husband who supports all aspects of our journey. And we currently live in Philadelphia. My boys were diagnosed with autism, as I said, when they were 2 years old. And they are an interesting story because they are completely different in their forms of autism. And I think that's so unique because they're identical twins. But Victor, even as they were younger getting diagnosed, they were so opposite. Victor was needy, a total mess, constant diarrhea. He was such a pickle. We just called him a pickle because he was crying. He always needed to be held. He appeared to be in pain, chronic pain. Vincent was always aloof. He was completely different. He almost didn't need us. He was like the kid that was sitting in the corner. He didn't even know we existed. Always appeared to be deaf. He could care less about anything we did. Fireworks could be going on in the next room and he could have completely ignored us. He would just spin things, stim. You know, he was totally in his own world. Now, fast forward 13 years, Victor, who was a total mess, is now such a true, pure joy in our lives. I mean, he lights up the room, any room that he walks in. He's amazing. He's a ball of fun. He never cries. He's always happy. His GI is great. He's just amazing. He's just such a pleasant, happy child. And if people saw children like Victor, they would think that autism was a beautiful thing because he's just such a content, sweet kid. And now Vincent, who was completely aloof, has also made progress. Now Vincent's still nonverbal, but he's completely different. Now he lives to be with us. He's totally aware of our presence. He's cognizant of everything that's going on in his life. You can walk in the door and he's the first one to recognize my husband's here and goes running to give him a hug. He still struggles to communicate, but he is 100% receptive, and his cognition is on par to his age, and he is able to now communicate via typing. And if you ask him things like, what is your favorite subject, he will gladly type astronomy and the study of stars in space. So he has made amazing gains, and he so wants to be present in our lives and in our family. And so where we were 13 years ago, when those two very different boys had so many different issues, and where they are now is just such an amazing difference.
That's very interesting to hear, just the progression that's occurred, but still to hear that there is still very much a difference in the two.
Mm-hmm. They are very different, but they're just both great kids, and I'll take all of their growth because where they were and where they are now is just an amazing difference.
Yeah. Can you speak a little bit about your daughter as well? There's a lot of families out there who have multiple kids. There's a lot of families out there who actually have multiple kids on the spectrum, but then
some families who have typical kids as well. And that dynamic is very interesting to me, just to see how they respond and how the families deal with multiple siblings.
Yeah, I think my daughter has it a little harder than most because she has twin brothers with autism. So, you know, the one thing I will say about the autism is that it's quite demanding on us as a family. I have a husband who travels, and so a lot of times I'm the primary caregiver, and juggling their medical appointments, their supplements, their diet. They have a lot of allergies. All three of my kids have celiac. So I think my daughter has to rise up. And I think in some ways she has learned a lot from being a sister to twin boys with autism, because she's become independent. She does her homework by herself. She's an honor student. She's a dancer 25 hours a week. She's a ballerina. She's 17. She's amazing. I think the most important thing about my daughter, the life lesson that I learned through raising my twins, is that I needed to love and cherish her alongside my twins, because loving her and fulfilling her and meeting her needs is going to flow over into my boys with her happiness. And it's definitely what's happened in my family. So taking care of my daughter has allowed her to never resent them, mm-hmm. never take advantage of my time for her, because mm-hmm. she knows that I try very hard to divvy up between the three of them. Even though they need more from me, I always put aside time for her. And our time is actually nighttime. Every night before she's 17 years old, and since she was 5 and they were 3, I have been going up and tucking her into bed, and I pray over her, and I talk about her day, and I ask her what she did and if she has any worries and if I can help her with anything. And I just dedicate that half an hour before she goes to bed and before I go to bed to ensure that all of her needs are being met from her mother. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I think it's empowered her to be a good sibling. And I think loving on her has been probably one of the best things for my boys. She's amazing with my twins. It's definitely harder for her to work with my nonverbal son, Vincent. But she always parallel plays with him. She'll make videos for him. She'll do anything to make him laugh, just to get him engaged and giggling. She will often like make faces with him just to get him to make faces back. She definitely knows how to engage him. And then Victor idolizes her. So he's like her little shadow, his puppet. Victor, my daughter's an artist. She loves to draw. And Victor picked up that, I guess, that amazing ability and the comfort of drawing and where it can take you in your imagination from her, because she will just sit and draw with him for hours upon hours. And it's their little bonding. Now that she can drive, she'll take him places. She sits with it. She takes him to church if we take separate cars. Like, she's just a great role model for him. And again, I really think investing time and energy and love into her has helped my twins in the long run. But she definitely doesn't have me as accessible or as free as she'd like, as most children do, because of their autism. But it's okay. Yeah. Because she's an amazing daughter because of it.
Yeah. She is amazing. I actually personally know your daughter, and she is amazing. I'm going to shift just a little bit, pivot. And I want to talk to you about just your personal involvement in the community and how you've taken a pretty big role. What has been the biggest motivator for you in helping families, especially since you do have twins and it is such a demanding world? What has motivated you to sacrifice even more time in helping other families?
I think seeing my own children improve has truly been my driving force in helping others. Just knowing that a desperate mom that doesn't know if their child's ever going to be able to communicate is a true fear that I can relate to. Mm-hmm. Now seeing my son type the word astronomy, which mm-hmm. I didn't even know he knew how to spell, mm-hmm. Has just lit the fire in my heart to encourage others that they're in there, and that we just have to find ways to get them out. And these kids can be healthy and they can improve. And first and foremost, they can be happy. So I think it's critical to share my journey with other families to encourage them to stay strong. Because I know without all that we've done for our boys, their fate would not be such a pleasant one right now. They have a lot of medical issues, a lot of underlying illnesses, and a lot of confirmation from various doctors. And if you saw them on lab work, you would think they were horrifically sick, and they almost scare people. It almost scares people when they see them on a lab or all their diagnosis, you know, all their diagnoses. They're almost intimidated. Oh my gosh, this kid must be like a vegetable, but they're not. They're healthy, they're happy, they're stable, they're content, they're continuing to make progress. You know, they're just a joy. And I think that is what keeps me going and keeps me. I see a child with autism. If I see any child with autism who's crying, I want to help that family understand there's a reason. The child doesn't cry just to cry. There's a reason. It's like a baby. If they cry, they need their diaper changed, they're hungry, or they're in pain. It's typically similar to kids with autism. So I think my motivating factor has clearly been seeing the success of my children.
Yeah. And I love how, like, using what you've been through to help others has been kind of a sustaining thing for you too. I have personally witnessed that with you. Just, you get really fired up when you're around other families and you see those light bulbs kind of going off in their heads.
I do. I think the most rewarding thing that I, you know, we have a conference coming up, and I think the most rewarding thing is when I see somebody share the passion about a talk a conference with a beginning family who might have just been diagnosed, with somebody who's just starting on their journey, and their testimony, what they will write that they have gotten from the conference often brings me to tears. So I think that definitely motivates me, and the passion seeing so many kids that we help get so much better just continually lights the fire and keeps me motivated. I used to want to be a missionary, and I wanted to go on all these trips. This is a true story. I wanted to go on all these trips, and I would sit in church, and one day I just started crying that I so felt led that I was supposed to be going on all these mission trips, and I was stuck here in Pennsylvania, and I couldn't leave. I can't go to the, out of the country. And, you know, I was sitting next to an older lady from our church who knew my situation, and she put her hand on my leg and she said, "This is your mission field. It's called autism, and it's right here." And I think I cried even more. And I think from that day on, I said, "You're right. It is." And I found peace with it. And I just really feel like we can all learn from each other and help each other. And if we can help improve the lives of children with autism, there's no bigger mission field than that right there.
I agree 100%. I've come to know you and several of the other leaders around the country pretty well. One thing I always find interesting to ask you guys about and to hear you share stories with other moms or even dads is so often you are overwhelmed with therapies, supplementation, different medical procedures, doctor's appointments, IEPs, family functions, trying to keep your marriage healthy, all of these things. How could you encourage maybe a newer family that's kind of like, this is just, I'm tapping out, and I know people want me to take time for myself, and people are saying, oh, you're burning out. What would you say to those families just for them to be able to have grace for themselves and take some time to also invest in themselves?
I think the most important thing is to surround yourself with like-minded parents. And I think getting a good professional on board to oversee the care for your child is critical, because when I am at my most desperate point, the two people that I need to talk to are the doctor, because she knows my children like a blueprint that nobody else does. And I can call her with a concern and she always gets me right back on track. She's invested time and energy into figuring out how to help my children maintain and continually make progress. And I think it's critical to have that for a family that's trying to make gains through their autism diagnosis. And I think it's equally important not just to have that professional to oversee all the care. I consider her the captain of my team, but it's also extremely important who your teammates are. And you have to surround yourself with like-minded parents. If I didn't have my friends that have been where I have been, I don't know how I would have survived, because parents of typical children just do not get this. There's no comparison to what it's like to have a typical child come home and have a bad day because their math grade wasn't as they had anticipated. It's completely different to have a child that escaped from you in the parking lot of a grocery store and almost got hit by a car or had a seizure or, you know, ended up in the hospital because they didn't understand there was a danger to climbing on a ladder and fell back and hit their head. You know, I think surrounding yourself with like-minded parents and having that amazingly connected physician to kind of go to in case of an emergency are the two crutches that parents need even starting off in this journey. I think they need to have faith that they have a support system and they need to breathe, because this takes time. And even if parents don't see immediate results from efforts, you're still supporting them. And little by little, those efforts are going to kind of grow into a bigger effort and your child's going to seem a lot different from when you first started the journey. So I think surrounding yourself is critical for families just starting the journey, like going to a, you know, going to a coffee talk for TACA, going to a meeting for TACA. My husband goes to almost every meeting. I go to every meeting, and people think I go to help other families. Sometimes I go to my meetings to help myself. I need to be with my girls. I need to be with people who get it. It's just impossible to surround myself with parents who don't, because you can't keep motivated if you're talking about, you know, Mars versus you know, what's going on Earth. Like, there's such different worlds that they're just uncomparable. So I think like-minded parents are critical.
That's so funny. You kind of answered my next question, which was, how would you encourage a family to get involved locally? But you are really encouraging to find those local meetings, to find those avenues of community. And if you don't have local meetings in your area, what are some things that you've found as resources? Because I'm sure that you've had parents reach out to you that don't have like a local meeting. What are some ways that you encourage those families?
I definitely think the conference is my favorite event of the year. I think it's like my once a year recharge, re-energize, you know, get around like-minded parents who motivate you when you see hundreds of families doing what you're doing. That's sustainable for me for an entire year. That keeps me motivated. It keeps me going. And then I have formed friendships with those people. And even some are out of the state. And, you know, I think joining TACA online, I think the Yahoo groups are amazing resources for families. I think that we have some great for families in our area. I mean, Pennsylvania is pretty big. We have families from Pittsburgh. They can't come to our meetings. They can't come to our coffee talks, but they can join our Yahoo group on Pennsylvania. They can join our Facebook group. They can join, you know, TACA National Yahoo group. There's just a lot of ways to stay in touch and connected with those like-minded parents. So even if they can't attend, they still have needs. That would be my suggestion.
Yeah. Okay. So we'll put in some links and things like that, so people will know how to kind of connect, even digitally, if they don't have that physical ability to connect. But you did bring up the conference. If you would you just take like a few minutes and talk about the upcoming conference in Pennsylvania, and share just some details to inform our listeners on what they can expect, what you're really excited about, and who all might be there?
Oh my gosh. I'm so excited about the conference. This is going to be my favorite one ever, truly. This is our fifth year doing the Pennsylvania conference, and hands down, my most excited favorite day of the year. Again, it energizes me. It educates me. It's the most prevalent topics that most of our children are facing right now, with the top speakers in the field of those topics. So we have, you know, mast cells is really big right now. Brain's on fire. It's a huge issue. Dr. Theodorus is coming to speak. You know, we have pandas. Pans. We have some Lyme. We have Dr. Philip DeMio is coming to lecture. He's a fabulous presenter. He's great. He really understands kids with autism as he's a parent himself. He's fabulous with Lyme. Dr. O'Hara is coming on PANS. She is also speaking to beginners on how to discern diet. We have Dr. Dornfeld is coming to speak on metabolism. And of course, one of my personal favorites is Dr. Rossignol is doing a new presentation, brand new, on most recent brain findings within autism. It's going to be an amazing presentation. And then Dr. Usman is actually giving a few presentations. And of course, she's going to be talking about gut issues within autism. But she's also going to be speaking on discerning when and how you might need to change your diet. She's going to be talking about things like SIBO, which a lot of our children have, small intestinal bacterial overgrowth, talking about things like glutamate, things that parents might not be aware of, but might need to utilize to help their children's health improve. So it's going to be an amazing conference. I'm super excited. It's the best day ever. It's like hundreds of like-minded parents and the most powerful speakers to discuss all these topics that help our children. So my favorite, obviously my favorite part of the conference is being with the like-minded people while getting the educated information from the top professionals in the field. So I think it helps. It can do nothing but help all children get further down the path of healing towards the end of their journey. So
now, by the way, I pretty much said earlier on in our conversation that you light up when you talk about when you're around parents who are having light bulbs go off. But here we are just talking about the potential of having light bulbs go off and your entire countenance changes. Okay, well, I want to wrap up just with two fun questions, and then we will call it a day. But what are two books that you are reading or have read recently that you're loving and might be an encouragement to some of our listeners out there?
Two books. Okay, well, one book, I actually keep it at my bedstand because I think it's critical for all three of my children. And it's definitely The Five Love Languages for Children. It was given to me as a wedding gift 20 years ago for my husband and I. And when my daughter began school, the school gave it to us and said, every child is loved by their parent, but not every child feels that love. So it's critical to discern which way your child feels love from you. And I have found that even with my three children, they all are loved a little differently. And even within their autism, one of my sons is quality time and the other one is physical touch. If I just sit and rub his back and cuddle him, he's the happiest kid in the world. And the other one, if we do things together, he's the happiest child in the world. So, and my daughter's a words of affirmation. So she needs to hear that I love her and I'm proud of her and I can encourage her that way. So that's my favorite book, hands down. Keep it at my bedstand just so every night I go to bed, I can remember to pray about their needs and make sure that I meet them. And then my second favorite book in the world, because I live for this every single day, and I actually read the kids' version to my children. My daughter has her own, obviously, because she's 17 and pretty much a young lady. But I love a book called Jesus Calling, and it's just a little teeny encouragement with a little word from our loving Lord to show us what we need to really focus on every day. And I think it keeps me grounded and it allows me to say, it's okay. I just have to take care of today. And I got this and I'm okay. And my kids are going to be okay. And it allows me to focus on what really matters. So at the end of the day, that's my family, which first and foremost comes ahead of everything else. And so it just keeps me tuned into the fact that I'm doing the best that I can. And I need to just rely on the biggest support that I have. And that's my loving God. So Jesus Calling.
What I love about both of those is they're both practical, but they're both also simple. So I think a lot of times people try and find books and things, even if you're trying to just do like something to take care of yourself, to take a few minutes out and they want to go and do these in-depth, you know, I don't know, hard reads or whatever. But what's encouraging about both of these is they're simple. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't take a lot. but you're spending that time to invest in yourself, which then pours over into your family. That's
absolutely
important.
Absolutely. And the Jesus calling, I think, is amazing because I actually read mine every morning, so I already know what it's going to say. And then I read it at night to my son, and he loves it. And we reflect on what he might have done throughout the day and how we can utilize it for the next day. And it's an amazing book. And literally, it takes like 3 minutes to read. And that's pretty much all I have. I have three kids and a traveling husband, and that's it. And that's right. I literally keep it. This is really funny, and you can edit this out, Ashton. But I keep the book right next to my on my tub. Literally, I sit down in the morning, I pee, and I read my Jesus calling. If you can pee, you can take 3 minutes.
But it's, there you go.
It's critical for me. It's how I start my day. It's like breakfast for my soul to get through the day.
There you go. Okay, last question. And if you don't have an answer for this, it's okay. We won't do it. But what is one thing that you're hoping for Vincent and Victor? And you know what? We'll just throw in Rhonda in there for this year.
Well, Rhonda's a junior in high school, and she really needs to discern where she wants to go. So this year, I want my daughter to have complete peace about where she's going. And I want that to be safe when it comes to college. Safe and close, so I can stay on top of her. But no, I want her discernment for college would be my top priority for her, because I want her to have complete peace about that. And then for my boys, I think continued ease of outings. It's hard to take autism everywhere. So I think the one thing I'm hoping for this year is that we see even more growth. I'm becoming more and more brave every year. We go on vacations. We're doing more things. Autism is no longer holding us back. One son is easy to take. Two sons can be challenging. But I just think the one thing I'm hoping for, first and foremost, for both of them, is that we can have more family outings with ease and with joy and with fun, because they love to be together as a family. So I'm hoping that like our swimming gets stronger so that we can like maybe, you know, do kayaking more, and that we can do paddle boating, and, you know, we just want to explore a few more things with them. So that's what I'm hoping.
Well, honey, thanks for taking the time out of your day today to encourage families around the country. I think that there were takeaways for new families, seasoned families, and every family in between. We are so looking forward to all the good reports coming out of Pennsylvania, and we'll be cheering you and the family on as you continue to hope for more progress along the journey. Really appreciate your time today.
Thank you so much for having me on, Ashton. I absolutely love all that you're doing to help families with autism, and I'm super happy to support and promote and encourage families any way that I can in any tool that we can utilize to help parents help their children to reach their full potential is absolutely 100% my goal in life. So I just want to keep on keeping on and sharing the love and growing that bigger taco community so we can all continue to help each other.
Wow. I hope you're as encouraged as I am after listening to that conversation. Honey has a great passion for helping families, and she does a great job of resourcing and connecting families, especially in the Pennsylvania area. So if you're near her area, look up the next TACA meeting and get there for sure. They have some amazing parents in their chapter, and they would love to welcome new families. Speaking of new families, I did promise you an update on the Pennsylvania Real Help Now conference that Honey told us about. They had a wonderful one-day conference with amazing topics covered that stretched new families to very seasoned families. The turnout was fantastic, and so many families were helped by the lectures and the numerous vendors. And then just connecting with other families, which is what TACA is all about. So many of you are probably thinking, well, that's great, Ashton, but this podcast is late and we clearly missed this event. Here's the good news. There's a national TACA conference coming up in October in Orange County, California, with some of the same speakers, some new speakers, including a keynote from Holly Robinson Pete, and some amazing vendors, along with crazy awesome families. Go ahead and check out all the details for that. You will want to be there. Just go to takanow.org/events. And if you say, great, I can't make that either, go check out all our events at that same page. Everything is listed there.
Well, thank you for listening this week and for enduring the technical challenges. We'll be back with another exciting episode soon, so make sure you go to iTunes or wherever you download your podcasts and subscribe. You don't want to miss a single episode.